Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Today's Wednesday, March 1st. We're already in March.
Yeah, year's moving by quick.
March is a great month because I get paid on Wednesdays, and it's usually every other week. But in March, there's three Wednesdays where I get paid, so that's already great.
Yeah.
But with like the bonus, like once a year, it's paid on an off week. So I'm getting paid 4 out of the 5 Wednesdays in March.
That's pretty good.
So I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm ecstatic. And a big one came in today. So we're feeling great.
Nice.
It snowed. So golf season keeps getting delayed. But ski season's great. Got some new skis last week. I was going to say we're feeling good, but we're actually not feeling that great. I was puking all Saturday and Sunday. And Matt started following suit Monday, right?
Yeah, got sick on Monday, and then I slept. I woke up at about 7, and then I slept again from 10 to 3. And since then, I felt fine. So it was just that kind of, you know, had to sleep it off. But yeah, certainly did vomit on Monday.
Both of us are very dehydrated. I lost 6 pounds in a day and a half just from vomit. So been drinking my Michael juice, which I haven't really done since high school, which is mostly water, but a little orange juice, a little salt, a little lemon juice. Mm-hmm. Used to put Gatorade powder in there, but I didn't do that this time. But in high school, that was my move.
Skip the Gatorade powder. And this is an electrolyte sort of drink?
Yeah, like it helps me feel full, yeah, hydrated. It worked in high school, so maybe I'll buy some Gatorade powder and just start doing that some more.
Well, there you go.
So it's mostly water, but yeah, a little salt, a little orange juice, a little lemon. What does the lemon juice even do? I don't even remember why I put that in.
I don't know what any of this is. You know, like, don't ask me.
I remember there's a reason I put in lemon juice, but I can't remember what it is.
I mean, it certainly has a stronger taste than all of those things, especially if we're only putting a little bit in.
Yeah.
So.
And it is mostly water, but maybe I'll go buy some of that lemon-lime powder and dump that in.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. If anyone ever wants to try Michael's Secret stuff, that's what I call it. But we're feeling better. Feeling better. Got a little bit to talk about today. A couple things. One, the NFL Combine's this week, so I want to talk about the quarterbacks in particular, I think, as we're getting into draft season. Next week, there's a big – not big, but I'm writing a thing about SEC football. I think it'll be interesting to talk about, but we'll do that next week. And we'll talk about the MLS. Week one happened. We're not going to do hockey this week. We got our quota already. But a little soccer, a little football – and then a time pertinent top five this week as well.
Yes.
Do you want to start with soccer? Or do you want to start with football?
Let's go with the soccer.
Okay. Let's start with soccer. Just kind of recap week one. We did kind of a mini preview with Tom last week. And week one here. Let's start. I don't know where to start. Where do you want to start with Philadelphia?
Yes.
Well, just because we think they're the best team. I think kind of everyone thinks they're the best team, really.
Yeah, no, certainly they're the most talented team. Went to the MLS Cup Finals last year, obviously lost that. But starting out really strong, 4-1 win over Columbus. So, yeah, I mean, I think they have got to be the betting favorites for really all three competitions, MLS Cup, Supporters Shield, and Open Cup.
Yeah. I mean, just for fun, I think New England could be dangerous. Some people are saying Cincinnati could be dangerous in the East. I'm not really buying that. I think New England's the only other team that I could see really challenging. Not Toronto, not Miami, not either New York club. Am I missing anybody? I think it's just that. Yeah. I honestly think if it's not Philly, it'd be New England, but I'd be shocked if it wasn't Philadelphia.
Right.
I would like it to be D.C., though, because Wayne Rooney's there.
He's still hanging out there.
He's good still hanging out there. Yeah, coaching there. I was disappointed by Charlotte. They had a huge game and kind of let – their goal was such a giveaway goal that New England scored on and ended up winning 1-0 in Charlotte. So that was disappointing. Mm-hmm. Ooh. I'm going to be in Charlotte. I'll check their schedule, see if they're playing while I'm
going to
be there.
You should. I didn't know you were going to Charlotte.
Yeah, Garrett and I are going to the golf tournament there.
Oh, cool.
The Wells Fargo. He knows he can get me to go on any trip if there's like either North Carolina's involved or like a football game or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
I have no willpower saying no to trips.
Right. You like trips.
I like them. I mean, you know, I don't have anything holding me back right now. So
yeah,
I don't have any kid responsibilities or anything
for sure.
So might as well go.
Yeah.
So yeah, going to Charlotte in May. Atlanta is in the East. I'm not super stoked on them. I know I'm just saying everybody's not that good, but I don't see Atlanta had a big comeback win, but one of those, I don't know. I'm not super hyped on Atlanta. New England's really the only team I could see in the East. In the West, I think is a lot more interesting. One team I'm not super high on is Austin. I think they're going to take it, you know, half a step back from last year, especially because they're playing in Champions League. They just have more competitions. I don't know how well they'll be able to fare. So I'm low on Austin is my opinion on the West.
Yeah, that's, I guess, different for me. I would need to look into it a little bit more specifically. But I find expansion teams very, very often, they do well their first couple of years. They lose early in the playoffs and are then able to overcome, then end up getting into the MLS Cup. And then Austin, you know, really that should have been Austin, number one seed, probably should have lost to Real Salt Lake in that opening game. And so, yeah, I think, you know, having just one more year together, you know, even though the roster is not exactly the same, I just think a year of having actual cohesion and not just being a brand new team is going to help them go farther. Now, do I think that means that they're going to be better than some of the really top teams in the West? Probably not. But, you know, I would expect them to have another really good year.
Is Nashville in the East or the West?
I thought they're in the West.
I know geographically they're in the East, but so is
right.
Memphis, and they're in the Western Conference in the NBA.
Yeah.
I thought they were in the West as well. The reason I say is, like, I could see Nashville being, like, coming out of the West.
It annoys me when I Google MLS, I have to type in soccer because MLS is also a house searching thing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the formatting, like the copy, the bibliography thing.
No. That's MLA.
Oh, okay. MLA.
Nashville is in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, never mind.
Nashville is in the Eastern Conference.
Well, then I was going to pick a Nashville-Philly final. Yeah. But I can't do that now.
So are we at a time where the Eastern Conference is better than the Western Conference?
Well, I was just saying how I don't think any of the teams on the East are very good.
Okay, but, well, I guess, who
is St. Louis in the West?
St. Louis is in the West.
They could be fun. Well, I think the Galaxy are good. LAFC have, I still think, the best player, Carlos Vela. Mm-hmm. I think Seattle's good. I think Portland's good. Colorado's the worst. Real Salt Lake is decent, obviously. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's good. Dallas is decent. I think the West has a bunch more above-average teams, even if they don't have a Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I like Nashville a lot. I think, like, in terms of teams that could actually win the title, I think, you know, Philadelphia, Nashville, Cincinnati, like you said. Whereas in the West, really, I think it's just Seattle and LAFC right now. Although I think you're right that it probably is a little bit tougher week to week. However far down you go, you're probably going to be playing against a good team.
Yeah, I think there's more depth, even if the East has the Philadelphia, has the top dog. I think there's more depth in the West. Like Real Salt Lake, for example, our favorite club, hometown club, they're never expected to be great. And realistically, they haven't advanced. Well, I guess 2 years ago, they made the conference final. So I take that back. But they're not star-studded. You know what I mean? But there's like a deep team, really well-coached team. Especially playing at Seattle is always tough. Playing at Portland is always tough. Dallas is always tough. And maybe this is just a perception thing. Mm-hmm. For me, I even think Houston's going to be better than not very good.
Yeah.
They'll be better than that. It might just be a perception thing, but I just think the West is deeper top to bottom. And like a team, I don't know, like playing at Seattle seems more challenging to me than playing at New York City.
For the Red Bulls, for sure. In terms of fan base, absolutely. NYCFC is weird just because they have that weird baseball field that's so small.
Maybe that was a bad example.
But in terms of fan base, yeah.
Just like you're, or like playing in New England, for example.
Yeah.
Or like playing, even playing in Austin.
Right.
And like a lot of these have like really good, like Atlanta has a good fan base. Nashville has a good fan base. And there in the East, as we just talked about, Columbus has a good fan base. So, and Columbus is probably a team we should have talked about, who I think we both are relatively high on in the East.
Yeah, relatively. I don't have them as high as some of those other teams. But.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think, like, Austin, I just have a lot of respect, and maybe it's just, like, built in over the years, but, like, Austin, Dallas, Vancouver kind of laid the bed, wet the bed against Real Salt Lake, but I think they're a decent team when they're on. I don't think I'd pick them to make the playoffs. San Jose can be good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I was literally going to pick Nashville, Philadelphia. So maybe I'll just go. But I don't want to do a rematch. But I don't think the Galaxy will make it. But I might just for fun go Galaxy, Philly. Even though I just don't know if there'll be a rematch of LAFC and Philly. And that seems too obvious.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Repeats are pretty frequent. Or at least in soccer, we see the same teams going over and over again. I'm kind of inclined to pick Seattle. It'll be interesting to see how their Champions League pursuit goes, because winning Champions League or going far in Champions League kind of tends to tank the rest of your season, which is, I think, what happened to Seattle last year, winning Champions League. So I'm going to pick Seattle, but I also have Philadelphia in the East.
Yeah. I really like Carlos Gil, or Heel, or however we're pronouncing his name.
Yeah.
He's really good for New England. Seattle's probably a smart pick. Mm-hmm. We'll do more MLS stuff as we're going on. We'll also get back into NBA stuff. But you want to talk about the quarterbacks? Is there any other soccer stuff I missed?
No. Yeah, let's go talk about quarterbacks.
Perfect. So there's really the four main ones that we need to talk about. And we can talk about some more as well. But the four big ones, four first-round potential ones are Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson. Before I dive in, do you have any opinions on any of those guys?
Not as strong as you do.
So let's start with Bryce Young, because he's, I think, one of the most interesting prospects in a while. This is kind of surface level stuff, but he's so talented. Watching him in Alabama, especially this year, their receivers couldn't do anything. He won then the Texas game. He had to grind that out. There were a lot of the Tennessee game he had to grind out. He had Jahmyr Gibbs as well. But, like, they scored 49 points on Tennessee, and his receivers couldn't really do much. Like, Bryce Young is so talented, such a special creator. The only concern for me is his size. Mm-hmm. That's an easy cop-out. But at the end of the day, if you're hurt, you can't play, you know?
Right.
Best ability is availability. I don't know how NFL teams are going to handle that. I don't know how I'm going to handle that from my, like, evaluation of him. If he was 210, even if he's 5'10", but like 210 pounds.
Yeah.
Like it's different, but he's just built so small.
Well, that was my question, because we've seen a lot of short quarterbacks. You know, we've seen Drew Brees has obviously been phenomenal. Jalen Hurts is shorter, but he's one of the strongest guys on the team. So like, when we're saying small, how much smaller are we talking than some of these other small quarterbacks?
He's like Bryce Young's like 180. Like, he'll probably weigh more of the combine, but I think that'll be, like, he'll be drinking, like, 15 protein shakes that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not the height thing for me. And I think for most teams as much as the, like, actual weight and the frame and durability.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because if he's short, you can work around it. And I think from just a pure quarterback perspective, I do think he's a better prospect than Kyler was. Kyler's a much better athlete and a really good passer. I think Bryce Young's a better creator, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But Kyler's a better athlete, you know. He's a better prospect than Tua, I think. Alabama guy. Better. Like, there's a lot of guys he's better than as a prospect if you don't factor in the height.
Yeah.
And the weight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Will Levis, on the other hand, he's like 6'4", 230 or something like that. It has a rocket arm. He's no-brainer. He just has no accuracy and no touch. Like, if you watch a lot of Will Levis's interceptions, I don't want to say a lot, but a good chunk of them come from he threw behind the receiver. He threw, like, over the receiver on a, like, crossing route. He threw it ahead of the receiver, or just like easy throws where it shouldn't be interceptions, mm-hmm. and the receiver can't make a play on it, gets tipped, or just a simple overthrow or things like that. So the question is, and this is an oversimplification, but do you take the better quarterback or the better prospect? Because Will Levis has an NFL body, NFL athleticism, NFL arm. Bryce Young has the actual quarterback skills. And, like, he's ready to play, but is he going to last? You know what I mean? And I flip-flop.
Yeah, you know, 3 years ago, I absolutely would have said Bryce Young. And I still probably say Bryce Young because you don't necessarily teach accuracy in the NFL. But it seems like they've taught it to Josh Allen, and it seems like they taught it to Lamar Jackson, and it seems like they taught it to Jalen Hurts. So this thing that I didn't think was possible seems to have happened like 3 years in a row to have like three of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL. So I don't know. Maybe
you're saying Levis.
Well, I'm saying that seems not being accurate seems like less of a problem than it did 3 years ago.
Yeah, and both of them, like, none of them have the issue of, again, we don't know, just from what we're hearing, but like character issues, leadership, none of that's a concern. So those, we'll just count that as a wash. But speaking of Lamar Jackson, like, that goes back to best ability is availability. He's missed a good chunk of the last 2 or 3 years. Tua's been hurt. Kyler's been hurt. If you can't hurt, you can't play. And it's not even mobile quarterbacks. Like, Matt Stafford's been hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are even – Matt Stafford's like a typical NFL size, and he's still been dealing with injury issues. Like, if – it doesn't matter how good you are if you can't play. And obviously Will Levis could get hurt. So, but I think with the frame, it's much more likely that Bryce Young misses time unless, they completely scheme the offense around him where he's getting the ball out quick, play action. But that's tough to do for, like, a full season instead of just letting him be a quarterback, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, you know – part of the reason, if we look at these quarterbacks who have those all-time records, it's that staying available. Like Tom Brady, he has the one season where he tears his ACL. He doesn't have a lot of other injuries that you can point to. You know, Peyton Manning missed, you know, maybe both years while we were on our missions and weren't paying attention to football, maybe just one.
Yeah, we were chilly when he got his neck thing.
Yeah, so I don't have any idea how long of an issue that was. But, you know, there was that, and there was a few weeks in Denver, but not a lot of huge injuries for Peyton Manning. You know, Drew Brees was injured, I think, more than either of those guys, but still healthier than a lot of those guys that you just listed off. Yeah. So
if you're the Bears, well, let's just say you have the number one pick because the Bears are kind of in a weird situation. Let's say just generic team, you have the number one pick. It sounds like you would go Will Levis. I think it's between those two.
Yeah, no, I still think it's Bryce Young because I think he just looks like he could be so good.
He's so good. Yeah. Like, oh, man. Watching him at Alabama, there's not a lot of times where I'm, like, amazed by him. You know.
See, I just mean Will Levis, I'd be more comfortable than taking it number two, whereas before I wouldn't – I'd like, if you're saying he's 0% accurate – I'm not thrilled about taking him in the first round.
It's more touch than accuracy, I would say.
Yeah.
Which I guess is accuracy. Mm-hmm. But it just, like, he kind of just has, like, it's just, yeah, like, anticipation. Not even timing throws, but, like, I can even show you, like, some of the clips I'm thinking of. But they're just, like, behind the receiver. Like, they're still even, like, on frame, but, like, the receiver has to, like, slow down. Or it gives the DB time to catch up or, like, things like that, you know. But his highlights are unbelievable. Yeah. And he's a good athlete. He can run, too. He's tough, built like a linebacker. He's, you know, I don't think there's a lot of Connecticut football players built like Will Levis. I don't know how he did it, but.
Right. I don't know if there's a lot of Connecticut football players at all.
Yeah, I was saying, I don't know how big high school football is in Connecticut, but yeah, good enough to get Will Levis. CJ Stroud, it's crazy. Last year, it was like he was the no-brainer number two behind Bryce Young. And the issue with CJ Stroud has been just like pocket awareness. You know, like he just doesn't seem to feel or sense pressure. So a lot of people are like way down on him. I think it's a bit of an overcorrection. I still think he's really, really talented, but he's kind of dropped off that like top-level prospect that Bryce Young was and what CJ Stroud was being talked about last year.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson's kind of Will Levis to the extreme where he's so talented. I saw him in that Florida-Utah game, which was his best game of the year. he looked like he should win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. Like, and he can't do that all the time, which is frustrating. But he actually, people talk about, oh, he is really raw, doesn't know how to play quarterback, but he's a really good athlete. I think he does some things really well. The problem is, like, for there's times where he can step up in the pocket, go through progressions, read off the safety a little bit. So he does things well. He knows how to do them, but he just doesn't do them consistently.
Yeah.
And with him, accuracy is an issue. With Levis, I want to say it's more touch or anticipation. With Richardson, accuracy is an issue. But he's so athletic. He's so big. He has such a strong arm. And he can do a few quarterback things well. Where if I'm like Seattle or Detroit or Carolina, I'm fine taking him at 8 or 18 or 15 or whatever. I don't, one would be scary.
Yeah.
But if you have, I'm trying to think of the teams I just named. Like, let's say Seattle. I don't think he goes to Seattle, but like you play Geno Smith for a year, get Anthony Richardson some NFL coaching. I would feel super fine with that. Very big gamble, but could pay off really big.
Yeah, no, that it seems like a position where, you know, nobody's I think even if you take a 15, you know, some fans are going to be mad that you voiced the pick if it doesn't turn out, if that's anywhere in the first round. But
I think Detroit would be awesome for him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had to rank where I would want to take these quarterbacks, number one would be Anthony Richardson, like mid to late teens, like late teens, early 20s. That'd be my first choice. Mm-hmm. Second would be Will Levis in the 7 to 10 range. Third would be Bryce Young, number one. I think Bryce Young's the best player, but I'd rather spend the 20th pick on Anthony Richardson than the first pick on Bryce Young.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And then C.J. Stroud, he'll probably go in that. I would rather take Will Levis in that 7 to 10 range than C.J. Stroud, I think, just because I think the upside's a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your thoughts
That's
are.
That's fair. No, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm interested in the combine. I don't think it's going to give us any new information other than what we've talked about.
I think the biggest thing is going to be Bryce Young's weight.
Yeah.
And again, it's going to be a lot of protein shakes, so yeah. It probably won't be his playing weight.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I was worried about Devonta Smith. That seems to be fine. Obviously, quarterback is going to be hit more frequently than wide receiver is. So... I don't know. I just think if he's the best player, you got to go for it and then kind of cross your fingers.
You know, sometimes it is that simple, and we make fun of teams for overcomplicating it. Maybe I'm overcomplicating it. Mm-hmm. If he's the best player and he is the best quarterback, just go for it. See what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the combine. I love the NFL draft. I love pro days. Very excited for all this. Should we get to the top five?
Let's do it.
Okay, here's the top five this week. Again, I told you it was pertinent to this week. It's top five worst symptoms of being sick. And I actually forgot to write them down, but I have them in my head. So let me just walk through it really quick and write it down just so I can list them off properly. Have you gone through it at all?
I know a couple that I particularly don't like.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see where you put them. And these are obviously symptoms, not illnesses in and of themselves.
Right. Right. Symptoms. Okay. Now, I might be missing some because I'm literally just thinking of what I had.
Yeah.
Last, like, Saturday. Number five, diarrhea. Mm-hmm. I actually don't think it's that bad. I just couldn't think of any other symptoms.
Yeah, it can be... It can be tedious and annoying.
If it's illy timed, it can be horrible.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Number four, sore throat.
Wow.
You have it higher?
Go on. But
number three, I was going to put it lower, but I was like, if I love those cough drop medicines. If you don't talk and that's the only thing, it's not that bad. It's really annoying. Mm-hmm. But like number three, chills. Like I wanted to die. On Wednesday, I was so cold and so hot and miserable. So three's chills.
Uh-huh.
Two's headache. Like a bad headache's horrible.
That's true.
And number one is puking. That's just like my least favorite thing
yeah.
in the whole world.
Yeah, puking is bad, but sore throat has got to be number one, and it's got to be number one by a long way.
Oh, not over puking.
No, for sure. Because puking, you're going to puke, I don't know, I feel like I've puked a maximum of three times a day, right?
Yeah, and it's horrible.
It is, but if you've got a sore throat, I think it's as painful, if not more painful, than vomiting.
Oh.
But it's just always there.
We must vomit different then, because I literally, it's my least favorite thing in the entire world.
Yeah, but I mean, sore throat is like, you want to eat, you're hungry still. Like, if you're vomiting, you're not necessarily hungry. If you got a sore throat, you're still hungry, but it's still going to hurt you to eat.
I would rather have a sore throat all day than puke once.
That's crazy.
Do we puke differently? Do I have a worse gag? I
think we have sore throats
different. I do have a pretty bad gag reflex, like if I'm at the dentist, so maybe that makes puking worse for me somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I think puking is miserable.
A sore throat is awful.
This might have to be a poll.
I think it has to, because, you know, vomiting is not fun, but having a sore throat is the worst.
I think it's just, like, not ideal.
I hate having
a sore throat. It's not pleasant, but I'd rather have a sore throat than, like the chills, you know what I mean? Or, like, a bad headache.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've had really, really bad headaches. You know, like, I've had headaches, and they've certainly bothered me. I don't think I've had a migraine, so I don't want to underestimate how bad headaches can be.
I've only had a handful. Definitely not, constant. What's that word? Like, where I have them all recurring? The time. Yeah, or recurring, whatever. Like, but the two or three times I've had, like, a bad headache, it's miserable.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I don't know, man. Sore throat just is, like, is the thing that I'm aware of the most for the longest amount of time.
Yeah. Well, you do like your throat. You do like your herbal tea and everything like that.
Oh, I love some herbal tea. Yeah.
Sore throats are just an excuse to drink more herbal tea.
Kind of, but I mean, even with if I have a sore throat, it's not tea so much as a limón con miel. That's what a honey with lemon.
There you go.
In the water.
There you go. That's basically tea.
Not really. I mean, there's no herbs.
It's like everything except the tea bag, which I know is a big part of the tea.
Sure.
But it's the same hot water and honey, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a big Chilean thing. Oh, you know what's another symptom that's pretty bad we didn't talk about? Is crooked mouth.
You got this one. You've got this
so
one.
Chileans, when it was cold, would always open the door, like covering their mouth, like with their shirt or their arm or something like that. Because they believed that if you were hot and got quickly exposed to cold air, then your mouth would, they called it the boca chueca, like move to the side, kind of. And like it literally give you a crooked mouth or a crooked smile, like that cold air hitting you when you were warm.
Yes. Yeah.
So that would be a bad symptom.
That would be a bad symptom. Yeah. Kind of one of those folk things. It was interesting. I talked to Elder Barrales, who you met the one time going up at the temple. He was from Santiago. He had never heard of it.
Wait, you'd heard of it though, right? Was it just a country thing?
No, I don't think it was a country thing, because like I knew other people in Santiago who you know did it, just kind of like a folk thing, you know, how like in the United States we will knock on wood. But yeah, I'd be interested to do a survey of like how common it is and in like what regions.
Really? Because everyone I talked to, that was a thing. It wasn't like a predominant thing, but like they knew what it was.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, man, I was in like the ghetto and I was in the country when we lived in Chile. So yeah. Very different areas. And we're going back next year, or this year, I guess.
This year.
So it'll be interesting to explore that. I'm honestly kind of nervous to go where you were.
It'll be great. It'll be fine.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, but everybody's like cousin's buddy's like girlfriend knew someone who had boca chueca.
Right. Yeah.
That I talked to, at least. Yeah, so that'd be bad. But yeah, that's the show. Appreciate everybody listening. Again, feel free to leave a 5-star if you haven't done so. Next week, I'll be done with that SEC football article. I'll hold off on the details of it, but I think it'll be pretty interesting. We got another big top 5 next week. Been doing some testing, so we're ready to do our rankings. We'll hold off on that as well. But big episode next week. Hopefully big episode this week. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.